You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we start off with how the markets have been performing throughout the day. And who better to take a look at this than Sasfin Wealth, David Shapiro. Good evening, Uncle David. Thanks, as always, for the time. Nice to speak to you again. Gold prices, gold futures touching $2,300 an ounce there. And the gold price also $2,285. Clearly, this is not the same performance that we're seeing from the likes of Bitcoin. And we know which is the safe haven here.
No, isn't it odd? I mean, that they're both going up, but from gold's point of view, it's just a very interesting development. I'm very cynical about gold and haven't been a gold bull, but I can't ignore what's happening here and trying to understand what the big driving force is. At a time where markets are reasonable, they're holding up well, but it's really good. The only problem, Jimmy, is that we're not the kind of gold producers that we once were. You know, this in days gone by, with the gold price doing this, we would have had an absolutely roaring market. You know, now we're confined to what Pan-African, a bit of not even Anglo Gold. You know, I'm talking from the local producers, bit of Harmony here and there. So a bit of Sabania on that, but in the old days, this would have been pushing our markets into all time highs when we were producing as much gold, but not at the moment. Still, gold shares doing well. That's where the action is.
And it seems as though that's where the action is going to be. I mean, we've got Fetche, Jerome Powell, set to speak in a little while, so in a couple of hours. We obviously are expecting that there will be some guidance around inflation. And there's been early rumblings that there's a possibility that we are now no longer pricing in 3 rate cuts, we're pricing in more. Surely if that comes out tonight in any shape or form, the market's going to lose their minds.
You know what? It's so confusing because... when markets closed on Friday, when markets just before the Easter break, there were concerns that rates wouldn't go down. Now the numbers that are coming out, mainly on manufacturing numbers, now the numbers coming down, the services numbers suggest, yes, there will be rate cuts. We're waiting for the job numbers. So every day, choose your poison, you know, whatever it is. I have no idea. It's up and down. Today, Wall Street is or U.S. markets are strong again and, you know, led by tech. So I think we're going to go through this churning, you know, for a couple of months now until we finally get some kind of clarity on rate cuts. But it's more likely to be in the second half of the year. What I mean is I'm dismissing probably June because the messaging coming out from a lot of the Fed governors is that there's no rush to do so. You know, there's no immediate hurry to do so. And the market's kind of taking it in its stride. So, yeah, it's so difficult to get a clear line through what's happening there.
Well, I've just had a look at the calendar, and I believe Fed Chair Jay Powell has taken to the stand now, so he should be speaking any time now, but we'll get an update on that as the speech unfolds and as we start to see the markets react. Speaking of market reactions, Uncle David, it looks as though it was a good day for resource counters, second consecutive good day. We take them as we get them, I suppose.
Yeah, it's difficult there again. You know, it's so difficult to decide where to position yourself. Jimmy, my own instinct is that we're going to have a good second half. You know, I'm just looking at my screen now, and there Powell is at the, you know, talking too soon to say if recent inflation data is more than a bump. So I don't know. It's very hard to don't expect cuts until more confidence on inflation. That's pretty much the same story that we had last week, you know, exactly the same kind of story. But I think the market kind of just dismisses this and says, okay, well, the one thing that is happening is that at least the trend is in the right kind of direction. So, but what we are going to get rate cuts. And even if you look at Europe, you know, Europe is kind of stagnating. There's a concern about growth there. So I think globally we're going to, you know, need rates to come down. And once that happens, growth starts to take over from worries about inflation, you know, the need to grow the global economy. And that's good for commodities. So I think you're not wrong to position yourself now in commodities. You know, it's early days. But it doesn't mean, I think that sooner or later you're going to start seeing bottoms in some of the commodity shares and also commodity prices and that. So yeah, but you don't have to position yourself now, you know, just watch it.
Just keep an eye out for things.
It's showing signs, yeah.
Mm. Uncle David, there was an OPEC meeting today. We know oil prices are sitting near $90 a barrel. Obviously, this has such a significant bearing. We're a net importer where it comes to this. Are we concerned at this stage? Are we likely to go back to those $120, $130 levels that we so desperately want to avoid, or is it still up in the air?
Now, unfortunately, if we do get a strong market, you're going to get higher oil prices as well. You know, that comes with it. And I doubt whether OPEC's going to then open the sprigs and let the, you know, oil rush out. So be careful, you know, it's a bit of a worry that we could get higher oil prices. And of course, that also has impact on global inflation numbers as well, just at a time when we thought we were getting on top of them. But they're not as important as they used to be. But from South Africa's point of view, you saw last week, I think, with the oil price, with petrol prices going up, you know, it does have an impact on our pocket. We're just hoping there's some compensating forces there, but it's a, yeah, it is a it's a concern, and I'm looking at the oil prices now and saying, okay, this is getting a little high for comfort. You know, I prefer it when they're under 80 rather than close to 90. You know.
Well, unfortunately, OPEC doesn't prefer that, right? I mean, so the OPEC bloc very clearly prefers anything north of $80, $90, or even $100. And as you rightly mentioned, they're certainly not going to allow us to see a bit of reprieve at the expense of their profits. So that's not going to be an easy thing to navigate.
And they've done this for a long time. You know, I mean, that's the thing with, you know, when they control the price of oil. I mean, if it was a free-for-all, oil prices would be a lot lower, but we have to live with it, you know, until we put up enough solar panels and there's enough wind, which is not going to happen. Certainly not in my lifetime, Jimmy. Maybe you're young enough to see that happening.
Uncle David, before I let you go, I want to look at some of the developments. We got finalization of transaction capital that's going to be listing next week, Thursday. But alongside that as well, we're seeing that companies seem to be coming back into this M&A space. I mean, I'm looking at some international companies as well, but I also saw an interesting stat that said that the last year, so it was 2023, the JSE lost about 2.3 trillion in market cap. And obviously that was a significant sell-off. But are we starting to see now with the repositioning, are we starting to see companies and investors saying, you know what, there's some really good assets at really discounted prices. Maybe now's the time to start thinking about it, not necessarily committing.
I think you should be doing that. Companies should be doing that. And there's sufficient small and medium caps around that can give you that kind of comfort. I've just been watching Quantum Food. Now, I know nothing about Quantum Food. It didn't exist until I did this Crystal Challenge, because one chap has got it, and I see that he's up 190%. And you're starting to see that kind of movement. What I mean is that people are positioning themselves exactly as you say. What did disappoint me is that, like, Life Healthcare have now declared the dividend from the sale of Alliance. You know, and what always concerns me is that they didn't retain the money to try and expand their operations. Maybe they've been hurt overseas, but even locally, there's nothing that they can do. So you've got the two different sides of the issue. But I would imagine, Jimmy, I think some of the smaller businesses are up for grabs, particularly at the low levels. What we do need is some kind of comfort on the economy. You know, we need our economy to stabilize. We need to get the factors that allow you to build businesses steady, you know, meaning water and electricity and all the other things of that. But, I think globally as well, I think that people are going to be on the lookout, and we're seeing a lot of spending in expenditure, particularly in the AI space, in the medical space, a lot happening there. Jimmy, you know, I'm in New York at the moment and I'm following the headlines, and it's quite incredible to see, you know, the amount of activity taking place, although the higher interest rates have held back the ability to actually raise capital for a lot of funds, you know, for investment funds, VC funds and so on. But plenty of activity around that theme.
And we'll hopefully keep an eye on that activity. I see there's just been a headline that's come out as well saying that African Rainbow Minerals is looking to take a 15% stake in a Surge Copper in Canada. So certainly a rife or a flurry of activity about to enter the market. We'll see new liquidity. We'll see new opportunities. And we'll keep an eye on those. Thanks so much, Uncle David. As always, we wish you a safe trip back home and we'll speak to you next week. It's David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth joining me to reflect on the markets and some of the trends we're seeing.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.